Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer over at ColoradoHockeyNow.com and podcaster here at Mile High Sports. I'm coming to you live early morning. Well, not live, but I'm coming to you early morning, Tuesday, February the 11th. I did do a show yesterday early in the evening covering the last two Avalanche wins before the Four Nations break. The back-to-back wins against Calgary and Edmonton. So if you haven't checked that out yet, please do give it a listen. But I did want to follow it up with another episode here this morning to talk Four Nations face-off. I do apologize for doing this so early in the morning that if there is any news that comes out from these practices here today on Tuesday, I will not have been able to update you on them. So some things might be outdated, but I don't think it'll be a lot of stuff because there's a lot to go over. We know where the Avalanche are going to be playing. We know who they're going to be playing with. And I think today it officially hit me how fun this is going to be. I think the NHL is terrible at marketing these types of things, but I think a lot of you are going to learn really quickly, if you had any doubts in mind, just how much the players participating in this thing are, like, how serious they're going to take it. It is going to be a lot of fun. I genuinely, in the heart of hearts, believe that. And I think it starts Wednesday. Canada plays Team Sweden. I believe that's the only game on Wednesday, if I remember correctly. And I'm just going to double check that. Canada versus Sweden, 6 p.m. Mountain Time on Wednesday. USA versus Finland, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. These are prime 8 p.m. time slots on Thursday. No games on Friday. And then Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. Mountain, Finland versus Sweden. 8 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Mountain on a freaking Saturday, USA versus Canada. That's going to be so much fun. By the way, that Finland-Sweden game, 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Mountain Time on Saturday, that's going to be prime time in Sweden and Finland, I believe. So we're going to get a lot of eyes on that game. So should be a lot of fun. Finland's leading scorer heading into the tournament is, of course, one Mikko Rantanen, who hasn't scored in 12 games, who has only one goal in his last 12 games, by the way. Sweden's leader, William Nylander with 33 goals. The leader for Team USA, Kyle Connor at 30. The leader for Team Canada is Sam Reinhart at 31. When it comes to assists, Mikko Rantanen leads Team Finland with 40. Jesper Bratt leads Team Sweden with 47. Jack Eichel leads the Americans with 50. And ho-hum Nathan MacKinnon leads Team Canada with 66. Believe it or not, the leader for Team Finland in wins is not Jussi Saros. Granted, the Nashville Predators are playing really bad, so you probably do believe that it is, in fact, Kevin Lankinen, who's got 19 wins for the Vancouver Canucks. Team Sweden's wins leader, Filip Gustafsson's got 22. Linus Ullmark, who is for the Ottawa Senators and will also partake in this tournament, has had a little bit of injury issues, so he's not quite there. Connor Hellebuck leads the Americans with 34. And Aiden Hill leads a very bad class of Canadian goalies with just 20 wins. So, where are the Avalanche going to play? Who are they playing with? It starts with Team Canada, where three of four representatives, and of course, if you've been living under a rock over the last 18, 19 days, when the NHL, I should say, announced the rosters for the Four Nations face-off, the Avs had three players who were named back in June and then two others that were named in December when the final rosters were due. And obviously, that adds up to five representatives. And if you've been living under a rock, Mikko Rantanen doesn't play for the Avalanche anymore. He was the fifth participant. Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, both representing Canada, they were named in June. Mikko Rantanen was named to Team Finland in June. And then in December, Devon Taves was added to Team Canada. One, Arturi Lehkonen was added to Team Finland. We were all hoping by some miracle that Gabe Landeskog would be added to Team Sweden. But of course, he is not an option. He will not play. So unfortunately, He is not there. I do wonder, by the way, if Landeskog was healthy and like if he was still Gabe Landeskog, whether we wanted to say that those injuries never happened, the knee stuff or not. I do wonder if he would have been captain or if Victor Hedman would have been captain, because Gabe, the Gabe that we saw in 2021 and 2022, would have put up a pretty damn good fight to be named team captain ahead of Victor Hedman. So just some food for thought, something to think about. But Team Canada, in the more obvious move, well, they're both kind of obvious, but in the far more obvious move, Cale Makar and Devon Taves are together. They will be the top pair for Canada, just as they are the top pair for the Colorado Avalanche. They are playing together, no questions asked. The second pair was supposed to be Shea Theodore and Alex Pietrangelo, but of course with Pietrangelo backing out and being replaced by Drew Doughty, you're looking at probably seeing Shea Theodore with Josh Morrissey, I believe is who he was playing with, Drew Doughty with Colton Pareko, and I'm going to double check that because I feel like I may have mixed up a couple of defensemen there. Yeah, Shea Theodore with Drew Doughty and then Josh Morrissey with Colton Pareko. My mistake. So Drew Doughty, the right shot, veteran defenseman, is taken over for Alex Pietrangelo in literally the exact same role, playing with Shea Theodore, the guy that Pietrangelo plays with in Vegas. Now, the least obvious move, but also something that we've been talking about for a long time, was Nathan MacKinnon shifting to the right wing. And why would he shift to the right wing? Well, that's because Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid, let's say it the other way, Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby are going to be your top two centers for Team Canada. And then you got a couple of guys in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's top line center, Braden Point, who was one of the players named to Team Canada in June, will center the third line. And then Tampa Bay's usual second line center will be the fourth line center, and that's Anthony Cirelli. So MacKinnon shifting to the right wing, he is, of course, playing with Sidney Crosby. Is he the second best person on the team to play right wing? No, probably not. Mitch Marner's on the top line, but there's a reason why that is, and that's because Nathan MacKinnon and Sidney Crosby want to play together. They're going to play together, and god damn, I cannot wait to see them together. The far more curious move is on the left side. So Sidney Crosby, if you guys remember, 2016 at the World Cup, so actually 2014, he started to develop some chemistry with Patrice Bergeron. 2016, he centered Patrice Bergeron on the right and the other Boston Bruin, Brad Marchand, on the left. Marchand, Crosby, Makar, MacKinnon, and Pietrangelo and Braden Point were the six representatives that were named to Team Canada back in June. During the NHL draft weekend. So they were the six that were named. Brad Marchand was obviously given that respect as a veteran and a longtime leader among the Canadian contingent, obviously captain of the Boston Bruins as well. He was named back then, and of the six, it's pretty obvious to say that he's had the worst of their seasons. Granted, it's not been as bad as you might think. You know, 20 goals, 24 assists, 44 points in 57 games. After two consecutive years where he put up 67 points, he's not quite on pace for that, but he is just below that right now. If you extrapolate his points, he's on pace for 63. But the Boston Bruins are struggling. His time on ice has kind of dipped a little bit from 1906 to 1833. He's got 5 game winning goals. He's a -7, which he hasn't been a minus player since his very first year in the NHL when he only played 20 games back in 2010. But of course, the Bruins are struggling, so he's kind of living that and breathing that with them as well. Brad Marchand, the expectation was when Canada named Marchand, Crosby, and MacKinnon all to Team Canada, the expectation was that's probably going to be a line. And had the Boston Bruins not fallen off the way they have fallen off, and they're currently outside of the playoff picture, gosh, they've got a -25 goal differential. Had his season not fallen off this much, and had he not been outplayed by somebody else, who we will get to in a second, he probably would be on that line with Crosby and MacKinnon. And like I said, I'm recording this early Tuesday morning. There is a chance today they're practicing with Marchand on that line. There is a chance they open the tournament against Sweden, nothing clicks, and Marchand is back with Crosby and obviously playing with Nathan MacKinnon. However, right now, your second line, centerman Sidney Crosby, right wing Nathan MacKinnon, left wing Mark Stone, captain of the Vegas Golden Knights, who's got 49 points in 42 games. This makes all the sense in the world. I love everything about what Mark Stone brings to Team Canada. I also do wonder, had Travis Konecny not been sick, if he would have been there, because Konecny and MacKinnon are also pretty good pals, and that's a player that you can see playing in that role and doing it well as well. But also, this is a tournament where there's a ton of talent, and you know, none of these guys would surprise me as a good fit for each other. Konechny's got 61 points in 57 games, just an unbelievably incredible talent. He's one of my favorite non-Avalanche players in the NHL, believe it or not. He is obviously naturally a right winger, but I would be really curious if he gets a chance at any point with Crosby and MacKinnon. Granted, right now, it makes all the sense in the world to have Mark Stone there. I think that is the best fit on paper before any of the games get played. Now, the reason why this is important is because in my recent trade board, I did write about Brad Marchand, and I am genuinely curious if the Boston Bruins, as they continue to fall, if they end up trading him. Because if they do, I would love to see if Nathan MacKinnon tries to get his boy here with the Avalanche, not just for the playoff run, but maybe to re-sign as well. The Avalanche have a lot of question marks on the wing right now. You know, Marty Neches is a long-term option. Val Nichushkin and Arturi Lehkonen are locked up long-term options. Jonathan Drouin doesn't have a contract past the season. Will he re-sign? Maybe, maybe not. What's he going to earn? What's he going to want to earn? And then, of course, the biggest wild of wild cards, and that's Gabriel Landeskog. So I really wonder about a Brad Marchand fit with the Avalanche if they were to make him available. And I was curious heading into this tournament if he gets a chance to play with MacKinnon, if there's a little bit of chemistry developed there, especially if they put the three Nova Scotians together, obviously, with Marchand, Crosby, and MacKinnon. I also do wonder how much Nathan MacKinnon is going to be in Sidney Crosby's ear telling him to leave Pittsburgh and join him in Colorado, because that is still the best fit for the Avalanche at 2C, but it is still a pipe dream until Sidney Crosby says, I'm willing to do it. So that's where Nathan MacKinnon will line up. Obviously, Makar and Taves on the top pair. But I do want to get to Canada's number one power play unit, because holy shit. Canada's number one power play unit. Cale Makar will play quarterback. Up front, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and Sam Reinhart. Holy crap. I cannot wait to watch those five guys go at it on the man advantage. I cannot wait to see Nathan MacKinnon and another right shot guy in Sam Reinhart after getting a little bit of chemistry with Marty Neches. Both of them lining up on the right side. Sidney Crosby down low doing his thing. Connor McDavid skating circles around everybody. Like, God, it's going to be so much fun to watch those guys. And of course, just some guy named Cale Makar up at the point, quarterback in this entire goddamn thing. It's going to be fun. I cannot wait to see it. But moving on to Team Finland. Arturi Lehkonen is exactly where I thought he would be. And so is Mikko Rantanen. I'm still going to keep mentioning him from time to time, because that's the guy that I thought would still be on the Avalanche when the Four Nations faceoff comes around. He is, of course, not. But we have Arturi Lehkonen at left wing, Mikko Rantanen at right wing, and centering the line is none other than Mikko Rantanen's current line mate and centerman and friend, Sebastian Aho. The part that I totally forgot about that I continue to say in the episodes leading up to this is that this would be Finland's top line. That is false. It's not their top line. It is their second line, because Alexander Barkov is the best centerman on the team, and whatever line he centers is the top line, and he will center Patrick Laine and Teuvo Teravainen. So that's where Arturi Lehkonen is going to play. He'll play a lot of PK time. I'm sure he'll get some power play time. Obviously, his 23 goals are three back of Mikko Rantanen for the most on Team Finland. So I'm really curious to see how that goes. But I do want to talk a little bit about Rantanen. A lot of trade boards have had Rantanen back on their list. Nick Kiprios did. Elliot Friedman's been talking about him for a couple days now. And it's simply because it's starting to get out there that if the Carolina Hurricanes are unable to sign Mikko Rantanen before the March 7 trade deadline, they're going to consider shipping him off in another trade. The Rantanen deal for Carolina always wasn't about the 2025 playoff run. It was about the 2025 playoff run as a bonus to this being a future piece, because the Carolina Hurricanes, as currently constructed, are a good team, a great team, one that can win the cup, but they've got a ton of cap space and a ton of flexibility where even if they sign Mikko and even if they give him 13 or 14 or 14 and a half or whatever the hell he ends up getting, they still have the cap space to put players around him, and good players at that. So if Mikko doesn't sign, they might move him. And it sounds outrageous. It seems outrageous. But leading up to the trade out of Colorado, anytime an insider, specifically Nick Kiprios and guys like Renaud Lavoie, Tevea, talked about trading Mikko Rantanen out of Colorado, I thought it was hocus pocus bullshit. I never in a million years thought it would happen. I wrote that. I made that very clear. And lo and behold, they were right. So where there's smoke, there's fire. And I do think that Eric Tolsky is the kind of guy that would do this kind of a move if it doesn't work out. What he would get, where he would ship him, I don't know. But if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, like last year, you took a risk in trading for Jake Guentzel as a playoff run type of guy, because you had guys like Brady Shea, you had guys like Brett Pesce, you had Teuvo Teravainen, you had a lot of guys that were on expiring deals. You said, let's give it one final go with this piece, this core of this team, and see if we can win a cup, and you didn't. And you still tried to sign Jake Guentzel, and he did not end up signing. And what you ended up giving up for him was Michael Bunting and some, you know, lower draft picks, a second and below. And you didn't give up any of your top prospects either. So that was worth it to try to get Jake Guentzel to sign, giving up someone like Michael Bunting, who you had just signed on July 1st. Like, he wasn't even part of your team for that long. But that was worth the risk. Jack Drury is a good player. He's worth the risk. A second and a fourth are good assets. They're worth the risk. But you cannot give up someone like Marty Natchez in this kind of a deal for a playoff rental in a season where you probably aren't even maximizing your cup contention opportunity here. The Carolina Hurricanes, like I said, they're a good team. They can win the Eastern Conference. It's very much up for grabs. They can win the Stanley Cup, but their team this season is not as good as what it could probably be in upcoming years if they add the right pieces, and I'm looking at the goaltending in particular. So you give up Marty Natchez for Mikko Rantanen and he doesn't sign. That is a colossal failure, especially if you don't win a Stanley Cup and especially if Mikko doesn't have a great time there, which he hasn't so far, but it's only been 6 games. They've still got 25 of them left. And, of course, the playoffs. Plenty of time for a streaky goal scorer, 26 games, I should say, in Mikko Rantanen to figure it out. But as of right now, it's been a tough sledding. It's been a tough go for Mikko. And his name is back on the trade market. So I did want to reference that because I'm genuinely curious to see where this goes. Elliot Friedman this morning on his podcast, or sorry, Monday morning on his podcast and on the daily hockey show on Sportsnet, which I forget what they're called now, the fan hockey show or whatever the heck. Yeah, the fan hockey show. He mentioned that Mikko Rantanen is pretty much like, he's the number one domino of this entire deadline. Like, teams are watching him. A lot of teams have him on their radar, and they're going to try to trade for him and waiting to see what they can give up and when Carolina is willing to give him up is something that a lot of teams are going to do. But alternatively, if they end up re-signing Mikko and he gets an extension with the Carolina Hurricanes, it's going to make a lot of teams shift to elsewhere and maybe some plan Bs and Cs and Ds and Es. As outrageous as it sounds, it's only been 18 days since Mikko Rantanen was traded from the Colorado Avalanche. He's back on the market. And obviously, nothing is guaranteed. Right now, he's having a tough go, like I said, in Carolina. And there's a lot of pressure on the player because Mikko is, number one, there's a lot of shock with the Avalanche trade. That is a very much a real thing. And I know a lot of people are thinking, how could you possibly think this wasn't going to happen? He didn't think it was going to happen. He thought they could get it figured out. Maybe he put a lot of trust in his agent. Maybe he didn't actually think that the Avalanche would trade him if there was no contract extension signed. Maybe he thought he still had until February 7th to say, or to March 7th to say, okay, fine, let me sign for closer to the number you guys want or the number you guys want. But that didn't end up happening. He wasn't expecting it. He's shocked. He was saddened. And you can kind of see it in his body language. If you've watched any of his post-gamers or if you've watched any of the six games he's played with Carolina, it just doesn't seem like he's having a great time yet. Maybe the Four Nations break, maybe combining Lehkonen and Aho will help him kind of have a little bit more of that familiarity, you know, bringing in some of the old with some of the new in Lehkonen and Aho together. And maybe he has a great time and he goes back to Carolina, lights it up, signs an extension, and the rest is history. But as of right now, his name is out there on the market, and I'm genuinely curious to see how this all shakes out. I'm also curious to see something that I referenced on Monday's podcast, Elliot Friedman mentioning that the Avalanche obviously were in on JT Miller and Casey Mittelstadt would have been part of that trade. And he wonders if the Avalanche not only try to get a number two centerman in and obviously not only trade Mittelstadt, but he says like there's possibilities out there where they can shift Mittelstadt to one team for assets like high draft picks and prospects and then use those assets in another deal to get the center they want, because a lot of the teams that might be interested in Mittelstadt might not have what the Avalanche need. So just something to keep an eye on. I'm really curious to see how this all ends up playing out. Mikko Rantanen, Casey Mittelstadt, just a lot going on. The trade deadline, March 7th, there's going to be a ton happening between now and then. But in the meantime, we're going to put an end to it here. That's it for this episode, Tuesday, February 11th. One day away from the start of the Four Nations face-off. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.